Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 51. And last time, we were discussing this conversation that Jesus Christ was having with the leaders in the temple. And they, in essence, instead of acknowledging what they have seen, instead of being honest, instead of being upfront, in spite of all the things that they have seen, they were still devious about it because they were blinded by their own covetousness. And their own blindness, you know, that came upon them because of their desire for power, you know, and they regarded everybody else as beneath them. And even when a man of God would come and perform signs and wonders, that didn't mean much to them. That's what happens to people when they are drunk with their own desire for power, covetousness of power, and envy, you see. And that blinds people, but the truth doesn't make any difference anymore. They're in a state of mind where basically they said, do not confuse me with the facts, because those don't matter. And so they come to Jesus Christ, tempting him, and, you know, in essence telling him, do you think you are? You see? Instead of recognizing what is happening and understanding it, since they should be men of the law, after all, they are the priests. So they ask him in verse 24, in verse 23, actually, we read, when he came to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people, so he got the entirety of the leadership there, not only the priests, but also the scribes and Pharisees. In other words, they were the ones that were at the helm of the religious government of their own people. And they came confronting him. Well, why do you need to confront him? If you see all the signs and wonders and miracles that he performed, you should rush to him and acknowledge what is happening and give thanks to God. Well, you see the spirit that enters into the heart of men. And the false prophets of Israel were always like that, you know, the prophets of Israel. They always confronted the prophets of God. They were not willing to acknowledge what they said. And some of them performed signs and wonders and miracles, not all of them, men like Elijah and Elisha. They were not willing to accept that and to acknowledge that. They confronted them. Well, that's the nature of the devil. And so they confronted him, and as he was teaching, and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Now, were they sane people, spiritually speaking, it would never have dawned on them to even think that way, because all these people, all the multitudes, immediately recognized that he was speaking by the authority of God, because no man, a human being, flesh and blood, can perform all you know, those kind of signs and wonders. And that, in essence, shows you the state of mind of the leadership of Israel. They who should be the wisest, the more enlightened, who should be knowledgeable of the law of God, and therefore able and capable of recognizing the work of God when it is done, they are the least to see it. You see? And it is to this very day. The ones who are at the top are the most ignorant, because they are blinded by their own covetousness for power and envy. And that has never changed. It's been always like that. And so Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, in other words, you know, that's the way you are going to behave. Obviously you're not interested in the truth. You're not seeking the truth. You do not serve God, you do not fear God, so you do not deserve a straight answer. You reply to me this question, I'll tell you what you want to know. You see? And that's what he says. You tell me that, if you will tell me that, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? You know, is it just like you say about me? You know, whom do you think you are and by what authority do you do it? They put them on the spot because there was a reality that was already created there in the land, throughout the entirety of the land, where the whole land knew and understood that John the Baptist is the prophet sent by God. There was no dispute about it. You see? So in essence, he backed them into the corner and they were stuck there. And so he asked them, the baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from man? You know, just like you accuse me. And mind you, John the Baptist did not perform any signs and wonders and miracles, and all the nation, you know, they all went to be baptized by him, including Pharisees and scribes and priests. And here is a man that has been already performing signs and wonders and miracles, and they are still with that state of mind. And so they reason among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? Again, they continue to be devious instead of recognizing their state of mind, that it is a sickly state of mind. It's not a healthy mind, and it's not a healthy reasoning. And so they are not totally blind. They are fully aware, just like the devil. He's not totally blind. He's aware of what he's doing, and yet he continues to do it, though he knows he can never confront God and win. And he injects the same spirit into others. It's a spirit of insanity, and that's basically where they are. They're insane. Yes, that's why Peter later on said, I realize that you and your leaders, you know, you're all blind. You're ignorant. And so, you did what you did based on that. Because normal human beings just don't function like that. And that's unfortunately the way it is. The higher people are, the less normal they are. The less sane they are. Because they are drunk. You see, with covetousness for power and envy and malice and things like that. And drunk people, they're not sane people. What comes out of their mouth, it's not out of a mind that is fully reasonable and sane. And that's in essence what is happening here. And so they begun to reason. Instead of just saying to each other, hey, you got us, you know, let's admit it. Let's be upfront and honest about it. And so they began to reason, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude. So they were trapped both ways. So they feared the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. All except us. You see? That's how insane they were. A lot of people don't realize what was happening there. The devil and his demons moved in, injected people, the ones that gave their minds and hearts to them, you see, injected them with the spirit of insanity and blindness and fury and anger, you know, and things like that, and malice and envy. And they were not capable of acting normally, you see. They were literally very insane people spiritually. And it's under those circumstances that they've done what they've done. And God knows that. And that's why Jesus Christ on the cross said, Father, forgive them, they just don't know what they are doing. Because, you see, when you're insane, when you're drunk, you see, when you're confused, when you don't know what you really are doing because your mind is not functioning properly, you see, God is not holding it as much against you. He's going to have you, pay the penalty for it, obviously. You're going to get away with, you know, with nothing, with murder or whatever. But on the other hand, he recognizes and made that very plain, that they don't know what they're doing. And yet all the hypocrites that came later on, they claimed that they did know what they were doing, and they held it against them for centuries to come. You know, calling them Christ killers, when all of us are guilty of doing it, and those of us who claim that we had nothing to do with it are more guilty in that sense, you see, because we cannot claim that we are sane, insane, you know, like they were. We cannot claim that the devil, you know, has got into us and demons have got into us, and therefore, you know, we don't know what we are saying, that we are drunk. Yet a lot of people, you know, in their bigotry, they don't see that. And the reason is that the devil has deceived the whole world, and in reality, all of us are insane, spiritually speaking, to one degree or the other, including the people of God, the righteous men who have the Holy Spirit. There's still a measure of insanity in us. That's why we continue to sin, though we know better. As the Apostle Paul said, Romans 7, I know that which is good, and I don't find myself doing it. Why not? Because that insanity is still in us. And now and then, you know, we're given to it, we're trapped by it, the deceitfulness of sin, and we commit the iniquity, though we know better. You see, we should never point. That's why, you know, Paul said, don't point the fingers at others, don't condemn others. But God did not deal with them. And only people who are full of hatred and malice to begin with are, you know, behaving that way. And that's unfortunately it is. You know, when people who are guilty accuse others who are also guilty. That doesn't make sense. That's insanity. instead of all of us recognizing, you know, our insanity and our iniquities and our weaknesses and praying for one another, instead of accusing one another, just like the devil, you know, we become partners of the devil who accuses the brethren day and night, and he accuses the people of God. And does not mean that what he accuses them of, you know, they are not true. A lot of things that we do, they are true. You know, they happen. We did it. And he accuses us, you know, to God all the time. That's all he's care, you know, he cares about, to destroy us. And when we follow his footsteps, well, we continue to do the same to each other. So, again, you know, as we read these kind of things, not only concentrate on what they did, you see, but watch out for the kind of an attitude that enters into our minds and hearts, and what do with it? Are we like Stephen saying, you know, please, Lord, don't hold it against them? Are we like Jesus Christ who say, Father, forgive them, they do not know what they are doing? Are we like Peter who say, well, I realize, you know, you and your leaders, you have done it in ignorance? You see, or are we like the devil himself, just accusing, accusing, and accusing? Well, we ourselves are exactly in the same state of mind. You see, so it's important to realize that. We must have eyes to see not only what the others are doing, which is generally the way human beings function, you know. They're very well, they got a very good eyesight when it comes to the iniquities and sins of others, but they are not capable of seeing their own. That's why Christ said, you know, you've got a beam in your eye. Why do you worry about, you know, the little piece of wood, you know, that is in your brother's eye? You get rid of the problem that you have to begin with, you see. Then you go, not accuse the other one, but help him to get it out. And we do not function that way. And so when we stand and accuse others, we don't realize. As somebody says, you know, when you point the finger at others, you better look at your hand because three fingers are pointing back at you. You see? And God does not hold us unaccountable for it, but guilty of the same thing that we've done ourselves in a different way. And so, you know, when all those things are happening, we have to ponder and consider all these matters. Because Jesus Christ always looked at it that way. And so they said, well, we are afraid of the multitudes. You see, not afraid of God. You see, and had we been afraid of God ourselves, we wouldn't be condemning others and judging others and pointing the fingers at others. But we would fear God and say, God, you know, our Father, oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on them. They don't know what they are doing. They are our brothers too. You see, if you don't do it, because we are of the devil ourselves. Well, let's consider that. You see, and as some people would say, if the shoe fits, wear it. And so, this is what they're saying to him, because they're afraid of the multitude. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know, which is a lie, you see, and only an insane person lies, because that's not a healthy state of mind. See, a healthy mind acknowledges reality. An insane mind, a sick mind, lies about it when everybody else knows the facts all around you. You see? So these were not people in their normal state of mind. That's a sick mind, and that's why we need a physician to heal us. And that physician was Jesus Christ, and he was there to heal, he said. He was there to save, not to destroy, not to cause to perish. That's not the will of the Father, that any should perish. You see, yet all those people that later on down the road calling themselves Christians, which were anything but that, they were full of hatred and madness and insanity and covetousness themselves and all the sins and iniquities under heaven, because they despised the law of God, rejected it, despised the nature of Jesus Christ, accepted certain aspects of it, despised his law, and yet they turn around and have the audacity of accusing the people that were there in person doing it, and then putting the guilt and the responsibility upon all their descendants for generations to come, and going after them and murdering them, raping them, butchering them, incinerating them, hating them, and they do it to this very moment, one degree or the other. You see, that disease has never departed from those who carried it from generation to generation. You see, so people like that are going to face also their day in court. And so Jesus Christ said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Well, what do you think? And so he gives them a parable. Again, he's going to, in other words, he's not there to destroy them, to condemn them, to hate them, to speak evil of them. He's trying to help them. These are members of his wife. And those who came later on in their ignorance and blindness forgot that. Who are these people that were doing these kind of things? And who did it to them? They forgot the role of the devil and his demons, you see. Along with their own responsibility too. We all have our own accountability and responsibility. We cannot say the devil made me do it and I'm not responsible. You see, all of us are guilty. All have sinned and all have come short of the glory. You see, but, you know, have the decency to consider all matters and realize where you stand. If not by the grace of God, you know, you would be, you know, where you are. You know, just in case, you know, God took you out of that cesspool, but most of us are still in it and need to pretend like we are not. And so he gives them a parable, try to help them. He's not there, you know, trying to destroy them, but to help them, to save them, to open their eyes, to give them another opportunity to understand, to realize in what state of mind they are and to come out of it. That's the nature of God, in constant to the nature of the devil. Many of us, you know, function rather like the devil than like God. And so he's asking them, you know, what do you think? And then his two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. You see, some kids are that way. Some people are that way, you know. They're just sort of contrary, you know. You tell them, I don't want it, you know. But, you know, they're not necessarily evil. Then they sit down and think about it. They say, well, that's not right. So you see, the conscience is still there. And there is sanity in them. And so they turn around and do right. A lot of people are that way. In other words, give them a chance. Don't, you know, make snap judgment. Wait. See what happens. At the end of the road, that's when you make the judgment. And so the first one says, I wouldn't, but he does. And he answered and said, I will not, but afterward he regretted it and went. So it's a capable, you know, a person capable of, you know, repentance, and he has a conscience, and he thinks. He's not totally, you know, blind. Verse 30, then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. A lot of people are that way, wishful thinkers. You know, always tell you, I'll do this and I'll do that. Let's do this and let's do that. And never, ever anything comes out of it. And that's what he's saying to them. What kind of people are you? The first one or the second one? You know, because a lot of people say, well, oh, Lord, I'll praise you. I love you. You know, you're my God and things like that. You see, their lips are very close to God, but their heart is far away from him. And this is unfortunately where these people were, the high and the mighty. While the others, the little guys, the little people that they put down, you know, they thought, well, you're just a bunch of lay members. You know, you're nobody. We step all over you. You're ignorant. You don't know God, you know, because they don't keep themselves, you know, clean from all kind of things. So they get into mischief. But yet, you know, just like the publicans and the harlots and the sinners and things like that, they still had a conscience in spite of all that they've done. And so they turned around and were the first ones to acknowledge, you know, Jesus Christ, to acknowledge the prophets of God. You know, they were humble and small in their own sight. You see, so it's talking about two different types of people. And we should ask ourselves, where are we? You see, this is not just a question to them, it's a question to us too. And so he's asking them, which of the two did the will of his father? As Christ said earlier, who are my brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and so forth? But those who do the will of my Father. And some of them may do it immediately, you see. And there, most of them, are, you know, they go their own way. They sow the wild oats and they do their own thing. But they turn around and repent. And that's why we should never accuse people. You see, you could not look at Rabbi Saul, you see, and accuse him about all the horrible things that he'd done against the church, because that very person turned around and became the Apostle Paul by the grace of God. You see, so at what point do you accuse the man? You have to wait, reserve judgment until the end, because the work of God is not done and finished with any one of us. You see, just like the poster says, you know, don't hold it against me. God is not done with me yet. But you see the hypocrisy. And that's what Paul, you know, was trying, the Apostle Paul, trying to get it into the, you know, the thick skull of the Gentiles. In other words, being called by God into the church, and they began to be holy in their own sight, and arrogant and haughty and boasting, and began to put down the people of God because they saw them behaving in a certain way, you see, not responding to Jesus Christ. And they said, well, we are holier than thou because we are responding. You don't. And Paul told them, don't boast. Just remember where you came from. Don't be arrogant. Don't be haughty. You see? And he told them, all of Israel are going to be saved because God is going to bring them back to himself. Well, what have they done in the past 2,000 years instead of, you know, paying attention to the admonition of the Apostle Paul? They just decided in their own mind, you know, you old Jews, you all go to hell because you don't believe in Christ, and we're going to heaven, and you're not even worth being alive. And they treated them in a manner that was much less than the beast of the field, with great contempt, and did an awful lot of evil against them. And God recorded all those things, and along the way God punished all, you know, the nations for all their wickedness. Much evil came upon them, as he warned them to begin with, when he spoke to Abraham, saying, those who bless you, they shall be blessed. Those who curse you shall be cursed. And many nations have been cursed with poverty and plagues and sickness and disease. Of course, they always like to blame it on the Jews. You see, that's how demonic people can get and think that they are righteous and walking in the light. Any one of us is capable of doing that, be it in the Jewish community, the priesthood, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, the nations. That's the demonic nature that is in all of us. And unless we recognize that and resist the devil and get it out of our system, you see, and totally give our minds and hearts to God to cleanse us and purge us from all this filthiness and stench, and walk in humbleness and humility and care for our neighbors, and remember the command of Jesus Christ, love your enemies. He didn't say hate them, destroy them, afflict them, oppress them. You see? Well, that shows you how many liars out there who claim to be the followers of Christ when they are anything but that. They are the followers of the devil and have always been to this very day. Only very few are sincere and honest, but the majority, they walk in the broad way, kidding themselves. That they stand, as Paul said, you better, you know, if you think that you stand, take heed lest you fall, because you are in a very dangerous state of mind. And so he gives them this example to still help them to come back. And so he asked him, which of the, you know, the two of them did the will of the Father? And they said, the first. Jesus said to them, as assuredly I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. You see? And those people, again, on the other hand, who accuse the people of God of things, yes, that some of them had done, you see, or many of them, you know, have rejected Jesus Christ. Instead of waiting until the end of the story, as Paul said, God is going to save all of Israel and give thanks to God and pray for them all along. You see, they just pointed the finger when they themselves were full of filthiness and they hated the law of God and they were full of iniquity. So you have a double reality here. On one hand, yes, the scribes and the Pharisees and the leadership should have known better, you see, and those whom they thought were beneath us are the actual ones that really understood and comprehended and perceived the work of God and humbled themselves and turned and became the first. And so the ones that should have been the first, you know, are going to become the last. But still, even the statement that says the last shall be first and the first shall be last, but the reality is all of them are going to be there. It's just a matter of timing, you see. So the sooner we acknowledge our sins and iniquities and repent and turn to God, you know, the sooner we're going to be there. And if we are the last ones in the ladder, you know, of righteousness, quote-unquote righteousness, from the point of view of men, well, we're going to be the first, you see. And the ones who are more, you know, sort of coconut heads, you know, harder to crack, well, they'll be later, you see. And that's in essence what God had done. He concluded those who rejected his path and his way in unbelief, partly until he's going to bring them back to himself. He never gave up on them, you see. No man should have ever, and you know, have this kind of an attitude, and the reason why they did, because they were blind and ignorant themselves. So in essence, God has mercy on all of them. But here again, you see two realities. Not only, you see, that you find here this parable with the priesthood, the leadership, they rejected the truth, while the people The ordinary people accepted it, which were the ones that to begin with departed from the way, but they, you know, just like the son said, you know, I don't want to go, but then, you know, they had still a conscience and they repented. But on the other hand, also, from the other side, the people that claim, well, we accept Christ, we're going to follow you, we praise you, we adore you, you are our Lord and Savior, they are the very ones that rejected the law of God. And they said, the law is done away with, nailed to the cross. We don't want to keep the Jewish Sabbath and holy days and laws of clean and unclean and all the other things. You see? So they place themselves exactly in the same position of those that he says here. Oh, they said, I'm going to do it, but didn't do it. And on the other hand, they say, the people that said, well, we're not going to follow you, Christ, you know, in the Jewish community, ironically, even though they didn't know it, Christ was their God, their Maker, their Lord, the one that married them in Sinai, that gave them the law. And for the coming many centuries, they gave their lives to obey that law of Jesus Christ rather than compromise with the Gentiles. And many of them were Israelites who did not even know that they were Israelites, you see. And they would not rebel against the law of God. You know, they added their own do's and don'ts, yes. And sometimes, you know, they made the law of God in this point or that point of none effect. But generally speaking, they preserved the Torah, they read it every Sabbath, they studied it, they gave their lives for it. They would rather, you know, jump into fires, literally, rather than desecrate the Sabbath or other laws that God gave them. And the one who gave it to them was Jesus Christ. You see the double irony there. And one of these days, you know, all the nations of the earth are going to wake up to realize that. And all of us are guilty before God, one way or the other. You see? If not for this, then for that. So we should never point the finger at anybody and have hatred in our heart toward anybody, because if we are, we are of the devil, not of God. We become accusers of the brethren day and night, just like the devil and his demons do. But we got a choice. You see? And you can play all the games that you want at this point, but when you face the judge of the whole earth, you will not be in the category of the sheep, but in the category of the goats. You see? That is if you do not repent and recognize your filthiness. So that's what he's saying to them. You know, you, the leadership that should have known better, you know, you were not willing to listen to, and yet, you know, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Verse 32, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. That is you, the leadership. They in essence say, you know, that's beneath us to go and have, you know, be baptized because we're clean, you know, we're righteous. We're holier than thou. We don't need to be baptized for our sins and iniquities. While the others recognize that, and some Pharisees and scribes, just to be politically correct, you know, they went also to be baptized, and he basically told them what he thought about them. You see, they do not come and do it from the heart, really acknowledging their filthiness. It's of no value for them to be baptized. And a lot of people, you know, like to do it just for show. And so it says, John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. You still were not willing to. Why? Because there was a demonic spirit there, you know, spirit of the devil there, and an evil nature that was entering into their minds and hearts, filling them with self-exaltation and haughtiness and arrogance and pride. So they were drunk with the wrong spirit. And so he gives them another parable. Still, he's not, you know, even though he brings it to their attention to make them understand where they really are, he still wants them to understand. He's not there still, saying, well, you all go to the lake of fire. You see? He's trying to gain them, to bring them to himself. After all, these are members of his wife, children of his friends, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, children of the covenant, children of the kingdom. He was there doing everything that he could to heal them, and he was willing to go all the way for them to the cross in order to bring them back to himself. Now, what a totally different attitude he was demonstrating here than those who came later on calling themselves Christians and the way they treated his own people. And who knows how many of them were his own very relatives, you see, from his mother and you know, all kind of relatives in the family. That's how sick the world is when the devil gets into our minds and our hearts. And so he gives them another parable. Here another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press, and earlier we read about this vineyard, which he made very plain, you know, his vineyard is, was, and will always be the people of Israel. You see? Or as he called it in, through Isaiah there, the people of Israel and the men of Judah. That's his vineyard and will always be. And then what comes later on will be of that relationship between him and his vineyard, his wife, his people, his bride, and the nations of the earth will be the outcome of that. They will become the children. This reality has never changed. And so he's talking about this parable of the landowner, which is himself, who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it. And he explained what it meant. You know, he protected the land. He gave them all kind of blessings. He set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he listed to vine dressers and went into a far country. He let the leadership of Israel take care of his own vineyard. And obviously they did not do their job properly. And now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. You see, when you do something like that, you know, you have a venture, business, whatever it may be, obviously you want some profits out of it. You don't do it for nothing. Well, he wanted to see what other leaders are going to do with the truth that he gave them. Are they going to teach the people and produce a lot of good fruits in the people? So he went and looking for the results of his own labor. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. And the prophets make it very plain. You read the prophets of Israel, the history of Israel, that's exactly what they've done. Even in the wilderness, many times they wanted to kill Moses himself. And again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. And then we read in verse 37, and then last of all he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, he's trying to explain to them what is it that they are doing. He's trying to make them understand. He's trying to make them look in the mirror. By this time, they should recognize that the leadership of Israel is the one responsible for doing all these things. They are the ones that generally led Israel astray, away from God, you see. And here it is, these people who should know the law, who should know the history of their people, who should know what the prophets of Israel have done to the prophets of God all this time, and they're not getting the picture properly, you see. So he's not there to, trying just to rail on them and yell at them and scream at them and things like that and put them down. He's trying to make them understand the nature of their heart, of their mind, of their behavior. So they on their own will come around, come back to themselves and repent. And that's the way God deals with us. He's giving us all kind of opportunities to repent. And some people are just not willing to do so, no matter what. And so he's asking them, therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vineyards? In other words, you be the judges. And in essence, he's going to cause them to, condemn themselves. Just like he told us, I'm not the one who is going to judge you, it's the Word is going to judge you, because the Word will determine whether you have obeyed it or not. You see? And so in essence, our own conduct, our own behavior, our own actions are the very ones that condemn us. You see, and that's what he's trying to bring to their attention. Understand what you are doing. And so they replied. They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably. They don't recognize themselves yet in the picture. That's how blind they were. That's what God said. That's why their Savior, their Maker, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, when he ascended up on the cross, for their sake and the sake of all humanity, he said, Father, forgive them. They do not have the capacity to know what they are doing. You see? And this is where these men were in that state of mind. And so we have to understand, the story as we read it, from God's point of view, not man's point of view, and on his bigotry and his double minds, you know, and double standard. He can see the problems of others, but he cannot see his own, and does not have the nature and the spirit of God to even care about them to begin with. You see, he immediately wants to snap at them and pass judgment on them and destroy them and consign them to hell. You see all that oftentimes in religious circles. You don't agree with a certain leader, the first thing he says, you're all going to hell. You see? That's the nature of man, because it is the nature of the devil, and that's not the nature of God. And so they're condemning themselves here with their own words. You know, he said, they said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. And they're still not getting the point. Jesus said to them, have you not ever read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected. You see, the leadership are in that position of building the nation. Instead of that, they're destroying it. And so he says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And this was, you know, the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And people can't see it. Now, the simple people, the multitudes, they understood it, they comprehended it, and yet the high and the mighty, you see, the higher we get up there, you know, into thin air, the less we're capable of thinking properly. And therefore he says, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you. You are the guilty ones, and given to a nation or to a people bearing fruits of it. And he's not saying here, well, from now on, forget about you, Israel, I'm getting myself another wife, a Gentile church. That's not what he's saying here. He says, you know, people like you are not going to be there, but other people who are humble, like all those multitudes that were following him, and then all of Israel, which is going to be saved, and all those who are going to repent and come back to themselves, you see, that's what he's talking about. And to begin with, the story has never been a shift from Israel to the nations. This is where the Gentiles, in their ignorance and blindness, not knowing the law and the prophets, they came up with this idea and promoted this idea, and they still believe it to this very day. For 2,000 years living in lies and deceptions, that God forsook his people Israel, and he had chosen a Gentile church. So they call it, you know, a Gentile church, a Holy Mother Church, and all those that came from her. And they're all in ignorance and blindness, not knowing the story. You see? So they are not in a better condition than all these blind leaders of Israel. They're just as blind as they are, and maybe even more hypocritical in many ways, claiming that they know better than they see. Now, that's what he's saying here. Therefore I said to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to another people, bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomsoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And when you read the account in Daniel, when the kingdom of God is coming, pictured by the stone that is going to grind, you know, and smash the feet of the beasts, you see, is going to fill up the whole world. He's speaking about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And now when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. And still they were not willing to acknowledge the reality that they were willingly ignorant, you see. And they blinded themselves in essence to the truth, because they were not about to admit error and guilt. People don't like to say that. On either side, be it, you know, the leaders of the Jewish community or the leaders of the false religion called Christianity. You see, they're not about to admit that they were living in error and believing lies, a mixture of truth and error. You see, all of us are in that boat. And until we come out of it and admit that, you see, we will be in this condition, as you said to these leaders. The kingdom will be taken away from you and given to people who are going to listen, to perceive and to understand, and to admit to begin with their error, you know, the error of their ways, their sinfulness, and the rebellion against God. And that's what he's saying here, not only to them, but to all. You know, as he said in other places, he that has an ear, let him hear. And this was the reaction. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes, because they took him for a prophet. Again, just like with John. You know, what you're reading here is about politics. not men of righteousness, not men of light, not men of knowledge and understanding, not men who feared God. They're just playing politics. You see, the love of power blinded their minds and hearts. And that's why Christ said it. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. These are not sane people. You see, even though they have a measure of knowledge and understanding, and they perceive that he was speaking about them, you know, at the end of the, when he made these statements, you see, they are the ones that condemn themselves by their own actions, and still they're not getting it. And so it is the majority of people. Why? Because the devil deceived the whole world. You see, when people are deceived, even though they may know a little, you know, bits and pieces, they're not capable of really seeing the picture for what it is as God sees it. And that's why Christ had, in essence, to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. These are not incorrigible people. They haven't got to that point yet. You see? That's why Peter said, I realize you and your leaders have done it in ignorance. And so, that's not the end of the story for them either. But if they are going to continue in that way, obviously, and that goes for everybody, there will be no future. Then chapter 22, we continue, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables. So he's still trying to help them, you see. Even at this point when they are trying to seize him, he's still trying to help them. That was his nature, in contrast to the nature of those who claim to be his followers. He was trying to help them with parables. And he's saying, the kingdom, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Just like the other parable. God says, you know, to a certain son, you go, that is the master, the father, the owner, do that, and the son says, no, I don't want to do it. So here it is, another parable along the same line. Now it's a marriage, it's not a vineyard, still the same story, and they were not willing to come. And again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready, come to the wedding. You see, give them abundance of knowledge and understanding. He gave them the law in Sinai. He gave them the prophets. He gave them wise men along the way. And now he comes in person, and they're still not willing to give in. Why? Because of what James would say, the deceitfulness of sin, you see, it blinds people. They can't see. They do not want to be confused with the facts because they want to continue in their own way. Just like, you know, a bunch of kids, you know, teenagers, you know, you tell them and they don't want to listen. They just want to do whatever they want to do, and they couldn't care less about their parents' wisdom or experience or knowledge or whatever, or anybody else. That's the way we function because we're insane. You see? It goes on, you know, for everybody like that. We're not willing to listen to the truth, to reality, to the light, to the voice of experience and wisdom. We just want to do our own things. And so these people are in that state of mind. And so again, he sent out servants saying, tell those who are invited, you know, I've got everything ready for you. All have to come. All have to do, just come. You see, and participate in this wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. You see, this was more important to them. They didn't care about the wedding. They did not care about the invitation of God to come and be a part of his family, of his people. And the rest seized his servants. Some of them, you know, were of the violent type. That's generally the minority. That is a vocal minority. And so this is what they did. It says about them, the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. And that's exactly what he was describing about his own people, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. And basically the ones that did it were the religious leaders. And to this very day, they are the worst enemies of the people of God. They are the ones that come between God and his people by their deceptions. That's why Christ said to his disciples, the thing that you need to worry about the most is not, you know, the destruction of the temple, or this or that or the other thing, but he said, take heed, because many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. In other words, what they do is, by their actions and their behavior, they destroy the vineyard of God. You see, they destroy the people of God. And that's much worse than destruction of buildings. And so in verse 7 we read, but when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. So he's describing the end of time, how God is going to deal with this matter. And then he said to his servants, The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find invite to the wedding. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found. Everybody was willing to come, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But here again, there is a problem. God is not going to allow just anybody. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. In other words, not a righteous person, not a person who was obedient to God. And God is not interested in those kind of people. And so he said to him, "Friend," still see the way, you know, the manner in which he's addressing the person, not you, you know, wicked so-and-so. "Friend." So he's asking him, "How did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Anyway, well, obviously, there was nothing he could justify himself with. Just like the people that would come before him and say, "Lord, Lord, we know you too." And he looks at them and says, "I don't even know you." Well, they too will be speechless. And then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." And only the ones who are obedient to the law of God will have the garments of righteousness. Anyway, we'll stop at this point. Greetings again to all of God's people. This is Mordecai Joseph.